Welcome to the God Solutions for Today's Problems podcast. Our goal is to help you see that no matter what problem you're facing, Jesus Christ holds the solution that you need. Before we begin, I'd like to inform you of our special offer. If this podcast has been a help and blessing to you, please feel free to purchase a copy of the book we are using in this podcast, The Guide to Biblical Counseling, by Dr. Tim Clinton and Dr. Ron Hawkins. It is available on our website for just $30. You can make your purchase today at OrdainedChaplainsUSA.org. Now, here's your host, the president of Ordained Chaplains USA and life coach, Daniel White III.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to God's Solutions for Today's Problems podcast. This is podcast number or episode number 56. My name is Daniel White, the third president of Ordained Chaplains USA and life coach. We don't have to look far to see that many people in the world are dealing with a variety of problems and are in need of solutions. No matter what problem you are facing, whether it is emotional, psychological, or spiritual, Jesus Christ holds the solution that you need. As we walk together in this podcast and on this podcast journey, if you will, we will address a number of issues that exist in the world and present solutions from the Bible that will help you heal and live life more abundantly. Pardon me. Our aim in this podcast is, number one, to introduce you to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the ultimate source of all healing and all problem solving in your life. Number two, to provide you with information that will help you to understand the problem in your life. And number three, to help you by providing solutions to your problems in your life. Today, our passage from the Word of God is Romans 8:28. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Allow me to share with you some interesting points on this passage from Matthew Henry's commentary, I believe one of the greatest devotional commentaries ever written. The concurrence of all providences for the good of those that are Christ's. It might be objected that notwithstanding all these privileges, we see believers compassed about with manifold afflictions. Though the Spirit makes intercession for them, yet their troubles are continued. It is very true, but in this the Spirit's intercession is always effectual, that however it goes with them, all this is working together for their good. And as only Matthew Henry can say, observe here. Number one, the character of the saints who are interested in this privilege. They are here described by such properties as are common to all that are truly saved and sanctified. Number one, they love God. This includes all the outgoings of the soul's affections towards God as the chief good and highest end. It is our love to God that makes every providence sweet and therefore profitable. Those that love God make the best of all he does and take all in good part. Number two, they are the called according to his purpose. effectually called according to the eternal purpose of God. The call is effectual not according to any merit or desert of ours, but according to God's own gracious purpose and will. Number two, the privilege of the saints, that all things work together for good to them, that is, all the providences of God that concern them. All that God performs, he performs for them and for their good. Their sins are not of his performing, therefore not intended here, though his permitting sin, if you will, is, or allowing sin, is made to work for their good. But all the providences of God are theirs, merciful providences, afflicting providences, personal, public. They are all for good, perhaps for temporal good, as Joseph's troubles, at least, for spiritual and eternal good. That is, good for them which does their souls good, either directly or indirectly. Every providence has a tendency to the spiritual good of those that love God. Either directly or indirectly. Every providence has a tendency to the spiritual good of those that love God, breaking them off from sin, breaking them nearer to God, or bringing them nearer to God, weaning them from the world, fitting them for heaven, work together. They work as they work upon the body they work as a physician works upon the body, various ways according to the intention of the physician, but all for the patient's good. They work together as several ingredients in a medicine, concur to answer the intention. God hath set the one over against the other. Synergy, a very singular, with a noun plural, or synergy, a very singular, with a noun plural, denoting the harmony of providence and its uniform designs, all the wills as one will. He worketh all things together for good. So some read it. It is not from any specific quality in the providences themselves, but from the power and grace of God working in, with, and by these providences. All this we know it for a certainty from the Word of God, from our own experience, and from the experience of all the saints. Again, our quote for today is from Dr. Warren Wiersbe. He said, "The remedy for discouragement is the Word of God, that is, the Holy Bible. When you feed your heart and mind with its truth, you regain your perspective and find renewed strength." The problem we are discussing today is discouragement. Part 1. From the book, The Guide to Biblical Counseling, by Dr. Tim Clinton and Dr. Ron Hawkins. Portraits. Mark has worked two jobs most of his adult life, just to make ends meet. He has three children and a wife, or he has a wife and three children who works. His wife works in the home and has a part-time job outside the home. Recently, Mark lost the higher paying of his two jobs. If that weren't enough, their older son was suspended from school the same week for having drugs in his possession. Mark blames himself for not being at home enough. Lila is a young woman who has been out of college and in the workforce for almost 5 years. All her college friends are married, and she longs for a husband and family. This is all she has ever dreamed of. She had a relationship for almost 7 years with a Christian high school sweetheart. She blames herself for the breakup and wonders, what if? She sits at home most nights alone in her tiny apartment. A married friend is worried sick about her and doesn't know how to help her. Definitions and key thoughts. Discouragement is a feeling of despair, sadness, or a lack of confidence, or all three combined. A discouraged person is disheartened. Three underlying causes contribute to discouragement. Lack of confidence in themselves, lack of confidence in God, lack of hope for the future. Because discouragement is a feeling or emotion, it can play games with our minds. We must learn how to control our minds. Allow me to repeat that. We must learn how to take control of our minds. See, because as I've said down through the years, and I'm adding this part, if you don't control your mind, that means you're insane. And that's why we have many people who are depressed and discouraged today, because they don't direct their minds. One of the most important things they can do, and I'm talking primarily to believers who have the power to control their minds. And thus our discouragement and lean on God. We must learn how to control our minds and thus our discouragement and lean on God for strength. You can refocus your mind away from your discouragement on something more constructive and more beneficial and more productive. Pardon me. Joshua was challenged with discouragement as he led the people of Israel into the promised land. God told Joshua, "Be strong and of good courage. Focus your attention," as Dr. Worsby talked about, "on the Word of God, not your feelings, not your emotions, not the people who are trying to discourage you, but God in His Word." And I don't care if it's family. Some of the biggest discouragers, some of your biggest enemies will be in your own family and in your own household and sometimes even in your own church. You have to ignore them and focus on what God wants for your life and do it. God also reminded Joshua that the key to overcoming discouragement was a personal relationship with Him. The Lord told Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt make, or rather, and then thou shalt have good success." Discouraged people often blame themselves or God and ask, "What if?" This is Satan's trap, his way of trying to have us think, "I blew it," or "God isn't capable." God has a much bigger picture for our lives than we could ever imagine. Challenges along the way are God's way of refining us, breaking us, making us, molding us, preparing us for the bigger and better picture, the first prize, if you will. If not dealt with, discouragement can lead to depression, which can stop people in their tracks. Many are there today. People must be taught how to deal with discouragement before it becomes depression. Discouragement reveals an unwillingness to trust God. Oftentimes, it is rooted in pride and stubbornness and rebelliousness and disobedience, selfishness, and wanting to do things their way. And God is not interested in that. In other words, God is not interested in you doing life your way. You need to do it His way. And you need to trust in Him. It can be dealt a death blow when people consistently cast all their cares on God and lean on Him and read His word and obey His word. Discouragement can be caused by many different circumstances and feelings. Shouldering one's own worries, cares, and fears, then collapsing under the weight, out of control. Let me repeat this. I want you to get this. Discouragement can be caused by many different circumstances and feelings. Shouldering one's own worries, cares, and fears, then collapsing under the weight. Second, out of control events. And actually, by shouldering one's own worries, cares, and fears, and trying to do it yourself, you contribute to events getting out of control. You're the cause of it. Number three, circumstances that were within one's control but were handled poorly because you did not seek help. You were too proud to ask for help. Sometimes in life you need help. And God has people. God has always a ram in the bush to help you. If you would just pray to Him, He'll show you where the ram is, if you will. Failure is fourth, either occurring in the present, in the past, or perceived potential for failure in the future. Missionary Hudson Taylor said, there are three stages in the work of God: impossible, difficult, and done. How about it, dear friend? Get it done for the glory of God. Change where you need to change. Control your thinking and focus on the Word of God, what the Word of God says, not your feelings. Pray to God without ceasing. I recommend that you pray a breath prayer, a prayer that does not take longer than 30 seconds. And always remember, the Lord's Prayer takes less than a minute. Pray it every hour. Pray and ask God to help you, to deliver you, to give you a solution, to open up doors for you. He'll do it. And you'll see depression and discouragement sail away. In our next podcast, beloved, we will continue looking at the problem of discouragement. Holy Father God, we praise You and we thank You that You have given us solutions to this common problem of discouragement that leads to depression. Lord, help everybody under the sound of my voice stop complaining, stop whining, stop blaming You, stop blaming others, and to confess their sin and to repent, for that's another reason why people become discouraged and depressed. To turn from their wicked ways and to refocus on the life goals that You have set before them that glorify Your holy name, and to focus on other people and not themselves, and to do Your will, to focus on You and to focus on Your holy word, and to do Your will and not theirs. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for His sake, amen. Dear friend of mine, if you are listening today and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, nobody can help you with your anger issues better than the Savior, Jesus Christ. Allow Him to save your soul from sin and hell. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, and thou you shalt be saved. Here's how you can be saved from sin, anger, and hell, and have a home in heaven when you die. In more detail. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner. You have sin in your life. You are sinful. And that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell because of your sins. We die physically because of our sins, and our bodies go to the grave. Our soul goes to hell if we have never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, dear friend, this is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ himself said in John 3:16 in the Holy Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, dear friend, if you need further coaching, please visit our website at www.ordainedchaplainsusa.org. If you have other questions about life's problems for this podcast, please email us at coach@ordainedchaplainsusa.org. Until next time, my beloved, please remember that God has a solution to all of your problems. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the God Solutions for Today's Problems podcast. If this podcast has been a help and blessing to you, please feel free to purchase a copy of the book we are using in this podcast, The Guide to Biblical Counseling, by Dr. Tim Clinton and Dr. Ron Hawkins. It is available on our website for just $30. You can make your purchase today at ordainedchaplainsusa.org. Please feel free to subscribe, rate, and leave a comment about this podcast on iTunes. You can also listen to the God Solutions for Today's Problems on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, BlackBerry Podcast, and via podcasting apps on the Google Play Store and the Amazon App Store. God bless you.